Dr. Jerry, you got the whole world waiting. Been ready for you to start the conversation. Your point of view, it got the haters confused. Leave it up to you to bring us all the good news. Positive vibes and the sex appeal too. Dr. Andre Jerry, can I get an interview? Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Live with Dr. Andre. Hey, we're broadcasting live from San Juan, Puerto Rico, where I'm spending the Thanksgiving holiday. So happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I'm really honored and grateful that you have decided to tune in. You could be doing 1,000 other things right now. So thank you for supporting the show and for supporting the Artists First Radio Network. Okay, so this show, we started back in August of 2022, and now here we are, about a month away from 2025. So time definitely does not wait on anyone. I don't take any of this for granted. It's truly been a blessing to grow this platform over the years and expand our audience, remain relevant, and consistently rank among some of the most popular shows on the Artists First Radio Network alongside some of my contemporaries, Rick McCormick, Judge Hubert, and Renata Morgan. So I'm in great company here, and I'm honored to be a part of the roster of radio shows here at Artists First. And I certainly look forward to continuing to offer content that's meaningful and value added to your lives in 2025. All right. So with that said, it's great to be back. I took a brief hiatus last month. During our last episode, I talked about how I was in the process of changing jobs and relocating to another state. So that's kind of what's been keeping me super busy this past month. So my apologies for keeping you guys hanging in October. It's been a big transition, you know, relocating from Georgia all the way to Ohio and, you know, all of the logistics that go into an interstate move. I can't imagine making this type of transition with a family and kids. I don't know how people do it. You know, it's a lot. Picking up and relocating is really not for the faint of heart. You know, don't get me wrong, it can be exciting and reinvigorating and all of that, but it really can take a lot out of you. And, you know, I didn't really think about this until recently, but this is my 7th move in 7 years. Isn't that crazy? So, like in the last 7 years, I've moved from Georgia to Puerto Rico, from Puerto Rico to Georgia, from Georgia to Saudi Arabia, and then from Saudi Arabia to Boston, from Boston back to Saudi Arabia, and then from Saudi Arabia back to Georgia. And then now my latest move is from Georgia to Ohio. So I'm exhausted. But I'm going to try my best to stay put at least for the, you know, next 2 years. And I always say that. I know. I always say that. And then a year later, I'm somewhere else. But we'll see how things go. I seem to have landed in a pretty good spot as it relates to my job and my new organization. But remember what I told you guys on the last episode. These jobs do not love you, okay? They don't love you. So whether you have a good supervisor or not, a good team or not, or whether you enjoy what you're doing or you don't enjoy it, always have your resume locked and loaded. Have it ready to go and always operate in your best interest, because I can assure you the company you work for, they're operating in their best interest, okay? And they will make whatever decisions that need to be made. So I want you to do the same. You know, I try to tell my nephew this, but I don't think he hear me, though. And, you know, I have a unique vantage point when compared to others. I realize that. But this was always my philosophy. Like, even when I didn't have shit, this was my philosophy. I remember when I used to work in a call center at Aflac. And back then, all I had was a diploma in accounting and management from my local community college. But if you guys remember how call centers were back in the day, and I'm sure it's a lot different now, but they were strict. Like, they were like little sweatshops. You could hardly go to the, like, bathroom or take breaks. they were very strict about time constraints or when you could take lunch, and you know, everything, you know, had to be meticulously coordinated in terms of scheduling. And you can forget trying to take a day off. But yeah, it was very strict. They had to make sure that there were enough agents available at any given time to service the calls in queue. So it was a very stringent environment, and people were afraid to call out or take PTO or what have you. I remember one of my colleagues at the time she was all stressed out because she needed to take a Thursday off to do something with her daughter. I don't know if it was a doctor's appointment or something with school, but she was afraid to ask our supervisor for the day off. And I was like, forget all of that. I said, tell her you have something to do on Thursday. And then she was like, oh, you know, I can't. They don't like for us to take Thursdays off because, you know, that's our high call volume day. And I was like, I wouldn't give a damn if we got a million calls on Thursday. If you don't go and tell that woman you got something to do on Thursday, you know. So that type of stuff always bothered me, because you shouldn't allow someone or a company to instill that level of fear in you or make you feel as though you don't have control over your schedule, because they give you PTO for a reason. And like I mentioned on the last show, you're not obligated to disclose why you need time off. So I told her, I said, the problem with you is that you feel like you have to ask permission. So I was like, hold on one second. I put my phone in aux. I took off my headset and I walked over to my supervisor's cubicle, which was just a couple of cubicles down. I was like, hey, I'm going to take PTO on Thursday. I got some personal stuff I got to take care of. And she was like, okay, no problem. Just make sure you put your request in and update the calendar. You know, it was just like that. There was no pushback. There were no questions. There were no comments about Thursday being one of our busiest days, because I set the tone. I set the tone by telling her I'm taking PTO, not asking for permission to take PTO. And so, like I said, this was just my posture back then when, you know, the only thing I had back then going for me was a couple of diplomas and an attitude. So you think at 45 years old with multiple degrees and a doctorate and all of this international work experience I had, that I'm going to be afraid to ask for time off when I need it? No. You know, that's definitely the wrong answer. So, you know, to my earlier point, don't let these jobs or any of these supervisors rob you of your dignity or your autonomy as a human being. You know, stand up for yourself and demand the level of respect that you deserve. Okay? Now, I can just hear someone a month from now like, Dr. Andre, your advice got me fired. Your advice got me fired. Hey, listen, I'm not advocating for anybody to go cuss out your supervisor. That's not what I'm advocating here. Give respect where respect is due. But you may want to consider changing your posture. You know, if you're one of these people who are shy, or you may be hesitant about requesting time off, you know, so just think about that. Okay, enough preaching on that topic. All right, so listen, we've got a great show in store for you tonight. 2024 is quickly coming to a close. It's coming to an end, and we are on the heels of a brand new year, 2025, and that means that now is the perfect time to start thinking about what we want to achieve next year, what new habits we need to start developing now to be able to achieve those goals and be able to sustain that lifestyle and those new goals, okay? And then also which bad habits we want to leave behind in 2024. So to that end, tonight we're going to be talking about how to unlock your best life, 10 power moves you can make today. This is not some stuff I found on the internet. This is stuff that I actually put together and have worked on over the years, and so I'm just sharing it with you today, okay? And the great thing about these 10 power moves is that they're practical and they're common sense moves that anybody can make. You know, they don't cost you any money, and you can literally get started today and start to make significant improvements to your life starting tomorrow, which is going to give you a head start starting into 2025. It's going to put you in a power position. Okay? Does that sound good? Y'all ready to get started? Okay. All right. Let's go. So I'm going to give a disclaimer first, all right? Got to give you a disclaimer. The advice I'm about to give is not for everybody, all right? If you're fine with how your life is going right now and the current trajectory you're on, then that's fine. You know, a lot of this is not going to land with you in the way that it would if you're, you know, dissatisfied with your life and ready to make some changes. But if you're not quite in that mental space to do the work, then this is just not going to make a lot of sense, okay? But if you're thinking about this past year or past couple of years and you kind of feel like you're stuck or like you're on a treadmill going nowhere, or you're just unhappy with your life and you kind of want to manifest something different and more positive in the coming year, then this is definitely your episode, and you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now, because I'm speaking directly to you. All right. So grab something to drink, a glass of wine or something, get something to jot some notes down, and we're going to go ahead and get started. All right? So, okay, tonight we're going to cover 10 power moves to unlock your best life. Now, of these 10 power moves, the first four are what I consider to be the most fundamental, because they're all a form of detox. And don't worry, I'm not going to ask anybody to go on a diet or fast or anything like that, but a form of detox is absolutely going to be critical to your success in this coming year. Because in order to consistently attract good things and positive things into your life, you're going to have to eliminate as much negativity as possible. Okay? There's just no way around that. So here we go. Power move number one. So the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is to stop watching the news, local news, national news, world news. I know that may sound counterintuitive because, you know, society has conditioned us in a way to believe that responsible adults care about what's going on in our neighborhoods and, you know, in the world and our communities, and therefore we watch the news every day, you know, so we know what's going on. Let me tell you something. News programs. Actually, most television programs in general, but particularly news programs, are some of the most negative, toxic stuff you can ingest. Okay? I will put it right up there with pornography in terms of how destructive it can be. Just take a moment and think about how news programs invite you to meditate on fear. Fears that you otherwise wouldn't even have unless an idea or a program was introduced to you. And I'm not saying that everything you hear or see on the news is negative or untrue, but what I am saying is that it's often sensationalized more than it needs to be. And consider this, there may be 1,000 different things that happened in your community today that were beautiful and positive, people getting married, new babies being born, people closing on their first house, maybe a minority entrepreneur won a huge contract with the city, new lawyers passing the bar, or somebody finally paid off their house, made their last house payment on their mortgage. But you probably won't hear any of that on the news. But you know what you will hear? Crime rate is up. Interest rate skyrocketing. People losing their homes, shortage of jobs, floods over here, hurricanes over there. So-and-so got killed just down the streets. Or whatever dumb shit the president-elect says he want to do his second term. Or some idiotic appointment he's made to his cabinet. So it's no wonder why people are so afraid and paranoid and fearful of each other. You know, we're basically locked in our homes, and we're afraid to venture out. We're afraid to talk to people. So I'm not going to belabor the point. If you get it, you get it. But it would really behoove you especially if you're really serious about unlocking your best life, to stop watching the news, or at the very least, significantly reduce your intake of it. And trust me, the really important stuff, it will still make its way to you. Trust me, by way of coworkers, neighbors, family, and those major headlines that just can't be avoided. So you're not going to be in the dark. You're not going to be in the dark, okay? I stopped watching the news over a decade ago. Now, I still watch political news, you know, especially if it was an election year like we just had, because I enjoy politics. But after this last election, I decided to just disconnect from the news altogether, even the political stuff. It's just too toxic. It's too toxic. It's too dark. So I'm choosing not to participate in any of that or engage in any of that. I'm not interested in the president-elect or any of his projects or plans for the country. Whatever he's going to do is just what it is. This is what the majority of the people wanted, you know, and voted for. So everyone is just going to get what they get. But as for me and my household, we're going to continue to serve Jehovah. We're going to continue to focus on positive things, okay, that move our lives forward as best we can. So I strongly encourage you to limit, reduce, or eliminate your consumption of the news. It doesn't have to be forever. It can just be for an interim period, you know, while you're detoxing from all this negativity and infusing your mind with positive thoughts. Okay? All right. On to power move number two. The next thing I want you to detox from is social media. Okay, listen, I know this one is kind of a difficult one, okay? But we're talking about changing and improving your lives here. You know, this is not supposed to be an easy process. That's why I call it power moves. Okay. Social media in and of itself is not bad. And, you know, if it's used effectively, it can be a powerful tool to promote positivity and affect change on a global scale, right? But on the flip side of the coin, it can be a very disruptive, psychologically damaging, and huge distraction for our lives. Let me ask you this. How many of you guys ever take a look at the screen time reports on your phone? I used to never really pay attention to them. I would just kind of scroll past it. But one day I clicked on it, and I was astonished at my screen time. Like, in one day, it showed that I had spent a total of 4.5 hours just on Instagram, 4.5 hours on Instagram in one day. And when I dive deeper into the screen time data, I noticed that it wasn't just that day, it was a trend. And that's when I realized just how much of my time, which is the most precious resource we have, right, time, just how much time I was spending on social media. And, you know, it would be one thing if I was profiting off of my social media like millions of people are doing. I'm not there yet. But, you know, that wasn't the case for me. It was just kind of mindless scrolling of just random stuff with no stuff that had no real value. You know, there might be a few inspirational or aspirational posts or something, but it was nothing that was going to substantively help to move my life forward in any meaningful way. So I was like, no, I'm not about to give up any more of my precious time on these apps, especially if I'm not getting paid, right? Instagram, got to go. Facebook, bye. I never really dealt with Facebook too much anyway. Facebook, okay, so this is why I don't like Facebook. I'm going to go off on a little rant. Facebook, I feel like it reintroduces you or resurrects old relationships and friendships that have passed, and that season has passed, and those people are, you know, you're not supposed to reconnect with everybody from high school and college and exes and all that. That's why I don't like Facebook. You know, I don't like it. Anyway, let me stop. TikTok, huge waste of time for people, okay? I ain't talking about people that get paid off of TikTok. If you get paid off of TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, good for you. Keep doing it. But I have a cousin who is obsessed with TikTok. And some of y'all already know who I'm talking about. Her main way of communicating on our group chat, and shout out to my cousins, Nat and Adria and Angel, by the way. You know, our little group chat gets me through the day a lot of times. But yeah, her main way of communicating is sending TikToks of the most horrific, useless posts you can think of. Stuff like 12-year-old shoots mom in the face, 7-year-old hung by fourth graders in a school bathroom. I'm just like, why is any of this morbid stuff on your timeline? And what makes you think that I want to see it? I don't want none of that morbid stuff, you know, on my spirit. So when you're talking about making power moves and focusing on changing your life, all this type of stuff has to go. It got to go. All of the mindless scrolling on these apps, unless you're leveraging them to promote your business or your side hustle, I would just delete them, right? Replace it with something like Audible. Audible, okay, so Audible isn't just for ebooks. They have podcasts, they have series, they have live performances, all types of stuff, you know? Or you can just grab a real book. Hell, start writing a book. But don't give your most precious resource to social media when you could be using your time for something more constructive, something that's going to get you closer to achieving your goal. Okay? All right, we're going to move on. Power move number 3, detox from negative people. All right, so this power move is probably going to be the hardest one for you to do, because negative people in our lives are more than likely the people we're already close with or in close proximity to. It could very well be the people we love, our family and our friends. It could even be your spouse or your partner in some cases. You may be the negative person in your life right now, and that's okay. You know, I've certainly been in my own way before, so I'm not judging. We're all on different paths of progress here. But as long as you have an awareness and a willingness to improve your life, then you're going to be just fine. But over the course of our lives, you know, we can accumulate a lot of associates, a lot of hangers-on, a lot of fair-weather friends and faux friends and what I call frenemies. There may be people in your life right now who are in your inner circle or have direct access to you and probably shouldn't. So during my last deployment to Saudi, I had this friend named Emily. Okay. Now, Emily and I were coworkers. Actually, she was one of my direct reports. And, you know, typically I wouldn't engage with coworkers or direct reports outside of work, let alone develop a friendship. But, you know, given the nature of her role in the organization and, you know, working in such close proximity and being in a deployed environment overseas where you're away from your family, your friends, you know, your support system, a friendship just sort of happened organically. So, you know, I didn't fight it. I wouldn't say we're friends today. We haven't spoken in over 6 months now. And, you know, I'm at peace with that. You know, sometimes people come into your life for a season, you know, and you have to be discerning in knowing when a season has passed. So when the communication between me and Emily just sort of organically stopped, I kind of just knew the season of our friendship had come and gone. And if we're not in tune with ourselves spiritually, we can actually prolong seasons with people that were supposed to end. So, but anyway, during the short time of my friendship with Emily, we learned not just a lot about each other, but we learned a lot from each other. And one of the biggest lessons I learned from Emily is to always take inventory of the people in your life. And by take inventory, this is what I mean. Who is in your inner circle? Who are you spending the most time with? Who has your ear? Like, who do you talk most on the phone with? Who do you trust your secrets with? Who do you take advice or constructive criticism from? Who ministers to you spiritually? Who are the givers? Who are the takers? Who are the people that you check in on, you know, to make sure they're okay? And most importantly, who are the people checking in on you? That last question tells you everything you need to know about the people in your life. And this is what Emily helped me to appreciate during our brief friendship. During that brief friendship, she noticed a lot of things about me. Emily was very observant. I want to say nosy. She was nosy, but she was very observant, but not in a bad way, you know, not in a malicious way. But she observed how generous I was when it came to friends and family and people I cared about. She noticed how I, even though I was overseas, how I'd do my best to stay connected with my loved ones and how I'd send little gifts here and there. And there was this one time I was going through a really rough patch emotionally. And she was doing what, you know, friends are supposed to do. She was being encouraging and she was being reassuring. And she asked me a very important question that I'll never forget. She said, how many of the people you always send money to ever call to check up on you? You know, to make sure you're okay, to make sure you had enough to eat, to see if you needed anything, to see if you're alive. And I just looked at her because it was one of those questions that didn't really require an answer. And after a moment of silence, because I didn't answer the question, I just kind of looked at her. I was like, you know, wow, just kind of had this blank stare. And she said, she was from El Salvador, so she had a strong accent. She said, honey, I want you to do something. Take out your phone and open your Cash App, and I want you to calculate, honey, how much money you are sending out this month. and so I did. I did it. I went and calculated it. I opened up my Cash App, and I'll never forget it. When I opened up my Cash App and I totaled just what I had sent that month, I had sent a total of $500. This is a little over 500, but basically $500 to just people. And the month before, it was a little over $400. And the month before that, it was about $375 and some change. So on average, I was sending out about $400 a month in love offerings and gifts and, you know, donations and what have you. And on top of that, I was the one calling and I was the one texting and emailing and video calling, you know, just to make sure everyone was okay, doing my best to stay connected with everyone while I was overseas. And, you know, despite that distance, still be a good friend. Try to be a good brother, a good uncle, a good godparent. And in retrospect, I understand a lot of what I was doing was being done out of a form of survivor's guilt. But even with that aside, still things seem to be kind of lopsided. A lot of the effort and crying seemed to only be coming from my side. And so Emily invited me to conduct a little social experiment. She said, I want you to do this, okay? She was like, I want you to do this. I want you to do this, honey, because I need you. I used to be just like you. I used to be checking up on people, making sure everyone was okay, helping financially, just give, give, give. I love how she talked, by the way. I kind of miss Emily. But her point was she used to be just like me. She used to be the one checking in, being the one, you know, sending money here and there, making sure everyone was okay. And she talked about how people can sometimes develop a sense of entitlement instead of being grateful and appreciative. And she was like, if you don't watch it, honey, some of these people, they'll start to view you as a cash cow, and they'll even resent you, honey, when you stop giving them money. So you have to be really careful. Believe me, honey, it happened to me. You know, that's how she talked. And so she said, I want you to do this. She said, go silent for 3 months. She said, don't initiate any calls, texts, emails, all that stuff. Don't initiate anything. She said, only respond. Okay. Her point was, you'd be surprised at how many people in your life can go weeks or 3, 5, 6 months and be okay with not hearing from you or even bother to check up on you to see if you're okay. And I had to give it to Emily. After my little social experiment, I think I did like 3 months. After my little social experiment was over, I had a very small circle of people who actually cared enough to check in on me and to see if I was okay during that time frame. It was very eye-opening. And, you know, it gave me the awareness I needed in terms of prioritization and refining my social circle and limiting direct access to only those few people who I knew I could really rely on, right? Not everybody deserves to have close access to you. That's what I'm saying. And that includes a lot of people in your own family, unfortunately. But I want to encourage you to do a similar experience or experiment. Maybe not for an entire like 3 months like I did. Maybe just do it for 1 month. But you do need to take some sort of inventory of the people who are in your life. And you need to assess who your givers are, who your takers are, who calls only when they need something. You know, who calls just to see how you're doing. Who is the one bringing drama and problems and chaos and confusion? Who's always complaining? You know, who brings positivity? Think about those types of things. Who are the most negative people in your circle? And once you complete your inventory, you need to make adjustments accordingly. All right? And I'm going to tell you something else. Be prepared to be a little lonely during that time and getting your feelings hurt a little. But in the end, I promise you, it's going to be a good thing. But really do try that experiment, okay? All right. Power move number 4. We're still on our detox now. Power move number 4, detox from negative emotions. We all know what negative emotions are and that they block our blessings and positive things from, you know, happening in our lives. Emotions like guilt, envy. What's another one? Hatred, resentment, unforgiveness. That's a big one. Grudges and gossip. I'm not going to touch on all of these. I'll speak briefly on the ones I feel people struggle the most with. Let's start with guilt, okay? Is there something in your life that you feel really guilty about? Maybe it's how you acted in your first marriage or your last relationship, or maybe you regret how you treated your kids when they were younger, or maybe you didn't get an opportunity to rebuild a relationship or forgive someone before they passed. Look, don't beat yourself up over something you did in the past or that you regret. It's been done. You can't undo it. You can't unsay it. All you can do is learn and grow from it and not make that same mistake again. And mistakes are just reminders that we're human. You know, we learn, we grow. Hopefully we grow, we move on. And if you really want to kick it up a notch, teach others how to avoid the same pitfalls that you experienced. You know, that's something I'm doing. What's another one? Unforgiveness. Let's talk about that one, because this is a big one for a lot of people. And I've had my own challenges with this. Until you finally get that holding on to unforgiveness only hurts you. And I know we've heard it 1,000 times. I've heard it 1,000 times. But until it really sinks in and you realize that all the resentment, all the anger, all the unforgiveness towards folks who've hurt you, it hasn't moved your life forward 1 inch. In fact, it keeps you tethered to the past and holding on to a version of a person that may even no longer exist. Think about some of the people you may have hurt. Remember how you were back in the day? Remember how you didn't consider other people's feelings that much, or maybe used to be really flippant with your mouth like I used to be? You know, but look how much you've changed over the years. That's not even you anymore. But there may be someone out there that you hurt all those years ago that may be still holding on to that old, outdated version of you. You see how unfortunate that is? That they're missing out on this wonderful person that you blossomed into? So don't you be that way. Forgive people who hurt you. You know, it doesn't mean you have to renew a connection with them. Or it doesn't even mean you have to say hello when you see them in the street. It just means I acknowledge that what happened, happened. I've accepted the fact that no matter how many times I relive it, how many times I, you know, agonize over it, I can never change it. And that staying upset behind it only prevents me from fully enjoying the life that God put me here to enjoy. And, you know, it can be a long road to finally get to that place. And that's okay, too. At least you're trying. At least try. You know, I've finally arrived at a place where I can forgive my eldest sister for something she said to me and my other sister. Something I wouldn't tell a person on the street, let alone a sibling. But I'm finally at a place of forgiveness and letting it go. Let me say this real quick, and I've learned this in therapy. I want to pass it on to you. Closure is an inside job, okay? If someone hurt you, or you hurt them, or you both hurt each other, however it went down, you do not need to have a conversation or interaction with that person in order to have closure and heal. Once I really got that, it was huge for me. And having that understanding helped me to make peace with and forgive my eldest sister. Now, granted, it took about a year. I see you, Alicia. Thank you for listening in. It took about a year, because all of this happened about a year ago this month, actually. My sister said something really awful to me and my other sister. And listen, I can be a real bitch when I want to be. Trust me. And, you know, even I would have never said what she said to us. But whenever someone says or does something to hurt you, especially if there was an intent to hurt you, you're going to go through the whole process of emotions that anyone would go through, okay? So that's normal. That's normal. And I would definitely give yourself some grace in that regard. But, you know, if it's been 5, 10, 15 years, then it's like, okay, how is holding on to this serving you? What are you getting out of it? What's the end game here? You know, are you going to write a book about it and then finally let it all go? Like, what's the plan? And I'm not trying to put myself on a pedestal because, you know, I was able to forgive my sister. You know, trust me, I struggled with this. I call her all types of dumb bees and stupid bees and selfish bees, you know, just everything. But when I thought about our mother, and how upset she would be behind this type of division, and how the only thing she wanted was for us to be there for one another and stay close to one another. I wasn't going to do anything to further perpetuate that division among us. And I've been working. I'm not going to cry. I'm not. I've been working really hard to let that go and to not speak negatively of my sister. Or just, if I can't say anything nice, just don't mention her name at all. But even in my anger, I had always left the door open for my sister to call or text to make amends if that's something she wanted to do. I've not received that call or text yet, but hey, the door is still open. You know, I'm receptive to at least a conversation. I could be the bigger person and reach out. I thought about that. I really did think about that, but I'm not going to do that because this is not my wrong to right. I'm the aggrieved party in this situation, you know, along with my other sister. So this is not really for me to fix. It's time for my eldest sister to act like the eldest and, you know, be the bigger person and take accountability and just apologize and be like, look, y'all, I didn't mean it. Or, yeah, I did mean it, but I don't want to feel that way, and I miss y'all. That's all we're looking for. We know you meant what you said, but can we at least talk about it? And for the sake of our mother, not allow this division to continue? Anyway, we were all raised by the same woman. It's just like, I don't get her. Anyway, I don't mean to drag everyone into our family business, but I wanted to take an opportunity since we're talking about toxic emotions and unforgiveness being one of the biggest ones. I wanted to at least try to use a personal example to humanize this point in hopes that some other family might be able to benefit, you know, or be able to heal a fracture or a division that exists in their family, you know. It's something that's been bothering me for a while, but, you know, there's always an opportunity for healing. So I just thank y'all for letting me vent about that. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we return, we'll pick up where we left off and discuss the 5 additional power moves you can make today to unlock your best life in 2025. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You're back live with Dr. Andre Jerry.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for staying tuned in through the commercial break. If you're just listening to tonight's episode, we've been discussing how to unlock your best life, 10 power moves you can make today. Okay, so before the break, we covered the first four power moves, which focus mostly on detoxing from negativity in several aspects of our lives. And so now that we've discussed how to move negative influences out of the way, we're going to start developing some winning habits that's going to take us to the next level in unlocking our best lives. So let's get started, okay? Power move number five, challenge beliefs that no longer serve you. Now, we're all familiar with the popular scripture at Proverbs 23:7 that says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And what I take that to mean is that our beliefs, and I'm not talking about our religious beliefs, but our beliefs in terms of the stories we tell ourselves. Let me give you a few examples of some common beliefs that people have about themselves. And I'm going to try to animate some of these for you, okay? Every time I try to do something good, it backfires. I always end up ruining every relationship I'm in. I could never get on the stage and speak to a crowd. It seems like every time I take a step forward, I end up taking three steps back. We've all heard this stuff. I know we may laugh at some of those. Those are real beliefs that people, you know, have said. We may even say them, you know. But remember what it said in Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So one of my beliefs that I'm really trying to uproot is this core belief that I'm a clumsy person. So ever since I was a child, I've always knocked stuff over, dropped stuff, spilled stuff, broken things. And so I grew up with this idea that or belief that I was just clumsy and with nothing I can do about it. I was just clumsy. And it didn't help that I had this whole Steve Urkel vibe and persona going on when I was younger. That didn't help at all. But because that has been one of my core beliefs, it's been really hard to uproot it. And I have to continue to have conversations with myself and watch my self-talk. I still have instances where, you know, I'm knocking stuff over, even in my 40s, still knocking stuff over, and I'm struggling trying to rewire my brain to uproot this belief. You know, just the other day, I spilled a whole big-ass cup of green tea on my beige carpet, and my first instinct was to fuss at myself. Andre, you are so damn clumsy. But I caught myself. I caught myself that time. And instead, I was like, okay, Andre, it was just a mistake. It could have happened to anybody. Let's just clean it up. Yeah, there's going to be a stain there, but whatever. Could have been worse. You know, so that's just one example of uprooting negative beliefs that, you know, we have about ourselves. We have to constantly monitor our self-talk. And a lot of these beliefs that we carry about ourselves and speak out loud about, some of them, like the one I just mentioned about being clumsy, that's like a trivial one. But they're also beliefs that we carry that can distort our reality and our overall perception of ourselves. Stuff like telling yourself you're not smart, telling yourself that you're, you know, unlucky and all this other stuff. You know, all of that stuff really does have an impact on our lives, whether we mean it or not. And then you're going to manifest that stuff in your life because it's your belief system. So things are going to happen that reinforce that belief. Like, see, I'm always dropping shit. I'm clumsy. Change that narrative. And if you have to catch yourself 100 times a day, then do that. All right? So take inventory of your beliefs and work hard to uproot the ones that no longer serve you. All right? We're going to move on. It's already 10 minutes. Okay, look, power move number six, practice mindfulness. So this power move is really sort of an extension of what we just discussed. When I say practice mindfulness, what I mean is be fully present and fully aware of the current moment. You know, and there are a number of ways we can try to achieve that. For one, we should be mindful of our thoughts. So think about this. Over the course of a day, we will be bombarded with thousands of thoughts and images. Many of them might be negative. While we can't stop these thoughts from coming to mind, we do have the choice to decide which thoughts that we're going to hold on to or magnify. And a lot of times these negative thoughts, they'll just keep trying to infiltrate our spirit, and it can be persistent. You know, I'm afraid such and such is going to happen, or, oh my God, what if I can't pay this bill? Or I hope he's not out cheating. I hope she's not out cheating. You know, when your mind is constantly on one of these negative tracks, you have to find ways to intercept and interrupt those thoughts. And the best way to interrupt thoughts is by speaking out loud. Okay? That's why God gave us the power of the tongue. Our words have the power to hurt or heal, to speak death over situations, or to breathe life into situations. So when your mind starts and turns all that negative thinking and, you know, oh, I never have enough, you know, money, or, you know, every time I get a dollar, I can't keep it. No. What's the opposite of that? God is my provider. He provides for all of my needs abundantly. You know, I'm having a bad day. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. This just ain't my day. No. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So that's what I mean by practicing mindfulness. And you can also do this by taking deep breathing exercises, you know, prayer, meditation, all of that. Just some sort of mindful practice every day that you can use to center yourself and clear your thoughts. Okay, moving on. Power move number 7. I hope y'all are writing these down. Start a gratitude journal. Now, this is one of my favorite power moves, because if you only did this one thing out of all the stuff we talked about tonight, it will completely change your life. The first time I heard about a gratitude journal was on Oprah back in the early 2000s. I started using a gratitude journal back then, and I've been practicing gratitude and keeping a journal ever since. And it's nothing fancy. It's just a clean notebook from a dollar store or something. Keep it by your bed. Write gratitude journal on the front of it in big letters with a Sharpie. And every night before bed, make a list of at least, you can do more, but at least 10 things that you're grateful for. And it could be the simplest stuff. And sometimes that's the best stuff to the journal. Stuff like, I'm grateful that my children had a good day at school. I'm grateful that there's no pain in my body right now. I'm grateful that there's food in my cupboard. I'm grateful that my bills are paid this month. I'm grateful for the compliment the lady gave my hair today. You know, just little stuff like that. And you'd be amazed at how that little practice will completely rewire your brain and give you an entirely new perspective on life. So try that one tonight before you go to bed. All right, power move number 8, write the vision. Create a vision board. Now, this one is my second favorite one. Next to the gratitude journal, this is my second favorite. Creating a vision board is going to be essential to manifesting your goals and the life that you want. And, you know, this is, can be a fun, creative exercise. That's what it's meant to be. It's fun. It's creative. You can do it with your kids. Or some people even have, you know, vision board parties with their close group of friends. As long as they're like-minded and they're on the same wavelength about manifestation and living the life of your dreams. And it's very simple. All you need is a poster board. If you don't have a poster board, a piece of paper does the same thing. But get a poster board, some Sharpies, some markers. Get some scissors, glue. If you're into glitter, get you some glitter, you know. But most importantly, you're going to need a bunch of, like, random magazines And you can get them from your job. You can get them from your doctor's office. You probably got some lying around your house. But once you have all your supplies, go through those magazines and cut out words and images and pictures that illustrate or represent the life you want, things that you want. If you always saw yourself on the beach, get pictures of beaches, you know, and or if you always wanted a boat, cut out pictures of boats and put that on your vision board, whatever you want to manifest. And don't worry about how I'm ever going to afford a boat or how I'm ever, don't worry about all that. Put what you really want to see in your life on that board. That's your board. And this stuff is more powerful than what you think. But the key is to get really creative and make it something that you look at every day. You just look at it on your way out to work and you smile and you remember what you're working towards, right? It's designed to be a tool that you can use every day to visualize your future. And you might even want to take a picture of it and make it your screensaver on your laptop or your cell phone. That way you can kind of look at it whenever you want. But seeing those images every day, it will draw your vision to you. It will draw it, you know. So definitely start working on that so you can have it ready for the new year, okay? All right. Power move number 9, do something that challenges you. Do something that challenges you. So let's talk about comfort zones real quick. We all have comfort zones. We like our comfort zones. It's a safe space. But here's the thing. There's nothing exciting or groundbreaking or life-changing that's happening in a comfort zone. And if you're staying in your comfort zone too long, that's how we become stagnant. You know, I remember when I finished my doctorate. My doctorate took me 5 years to complete. It took years. And by the time I was in year 4 working on my thesis, I was like, you know what? After I finish this, I ain't doing shit. I ain't going to no more school. I don't want to see a classroom. I'm retiring from life. I ain't doing nothing. I had been on this treadmill for so long of setting goals and achieving and what's the next thing. That just wasn't in me. I couldn't relax. I couldn't take a break. I couldn't just be normal and do nothing. It just didn't feel right. You know, that's one of the reasons why I continue to do this show. Not only because it helps so many people and all the feedback I've gotten, it challenges me. Y'all, I have a fear of public speaking. Even though y'all can't see me right now, this stresses me out. This makes me nervous. It gives me jitters. It's a good jitters, though. It's something I'm still challenged by this show because I'm not naturally a public speaker. I'm very shy and introverted. So doing this show is something that continuously challenges me. And so that's why I continue to do it, because I don't want to become stagnant. Okay? And it doesn't mean you have to do something crazy like climb Mount Everest and do a triathlon. You know, it can be something as simple as, you know, when you have company meetings or something, if you're normally the quiet one, maybe speak up and say something at that meeting, you know, or learn some type of new skill or tackle a fear, like public speaking or something else. This the point is to push yourself just enough to feel a little uncomfortable. And I'm telling you, that discomfort, that's where your growth happens. It's kind of like lifting weights. You know, when you first lift weights for the first time, it's heavy, it feels kind of awkward, you know, but over time, your body gets used to that weight and then you increase it. It's the same thing with challenging yourself, same concept, okay? You'll build confidence, you'll build resilience, and it's great to be able to look back and say, you know, I did that. I didn't think I could do that, but I did it. You ain't got to do it again, but you can always look back and say, I did that. You know what I'm saying? So my challenge to you is this. What's one thing you've been avoiding because it scares you a little bit or scares you a lot? Start small, but just start today and stretch those comfort zones and stretch those muscles, because on the other side of that fear, on the other side of that is the life you've been dreaming about, okay? All right, we're at the top of the hour. We got power move number 10. This is the last one, okay? And thank you guys for hanging in there with me tonight. Power move number 10, put something positive out into the world every day. And before you say, look, Dr. Andre, I'm not Gandhi. I don't have time to be spreading sunshine and all of that. It don't have to be some type of grand gesture, okay? Positivity can be something simple as like smiling at a stranger when you normally have a resting bitch face. Y'all out there, y'all know if you have one of those resting bitch faces where it just look like you have an attitude, look like they're the problem, you got that don't fuck with me face. You know if you got one of those faces. Just try smiling just for no reason. Don't give a crazy smile and people think you're insane, but just smile at someone. Just that little thing, it sounds simple, but it could make someone's day. Or just try giving a genuine compliment, not a fake one, a genuine compliment to someone. Like, girl, I like your hair. Or I love your car. Just something. Or send a quick text to someone just to say, hey, I love you. Or, hey, I'm thinking about you. I hope you're doing all right. Back in the day, I used to, I know we're going over time. I used to text random Bible verses to just random numbers. I would just make up numbers and just send texts to people with these scriptures or whatever. And, you know, largely I didn't get a lot of responses from those, but it wasn't about that. You never know, you know, because God said, my word is never going to come back void. You don't know if that scripture could have hit somebody at the right time or changed the whole trajectory of their life or just got their day off to the right start. You don't know. We don't ever know. And then sometimes I did get messages back that, hey, thank you. Or sometimes I got, hey, go to hell or whatever. But, you know, just try to put something positive out. You know, even if it's on social media, even, you know, share a post that's inspiring or, you know, just don't be arguing with strangers and stuff on Facebook. Just say something positive if you're going to be on that stuff. And here's why this type of stuff matters. The energy that we put out into the world, it comes back to us. You know, if you go around radiating positivity, you're going to attract positivity. And like I said, you never know how much of a difference that small act of kindness may make in someone's, you know, life. You could change their mood, change their day. They might say, you know what, I'm going to go smile at somebody. I'm going to smile at a stranger. You know, be careful who you're smiling at, too. Some of these people are crazy. But just the point is to put some positivity out in the world. So that's your homework. That's your homework. Get your vision board together. Start your gratitude journal. Put positivity out in the world every day. You know, create your own style with it. You may not be the text scripture type, but do something else. All right? Okay, I need to hush. This has been a great episode. We covered a lot. 10 power moves that can truly help unlock your best life. What were we talking about? Taking inventory of your relationships, starting a gratitude journal, creating a vision board, meditating, challenging yourself, putting something positive in the world. All this stuff is practical stuff, you know, that we can start right now so we can start improving our lives. Get a head start on this new year. Don't wait to January the 1st to start all this stuff. Start now. So that way when you get to January 1st, you can be like, look, I got this. Let's go. Let's get it. So, y'all, thank you so much for tuning in to Live with Dr. Andre tonight. Your support means everything to me. Don't forget to check out our show's homepage at artistfirst.com for more updates and information about the show. And if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you follow us on YouTube and Spotify, Amazon Music, all those platforms, so you'll never miss an episode. And mark your calendars for the next episode, which is going to air Christmas night, okay? Wednesday, December 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be a special episode, so you don't want to miss it. Until then, I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your family. Reflect on all your blessings. We are so blessed, y'all. And take some time to appreciate this holiday season, okay? So from my family to yours, happy holidays and have a good night. Bye, y'all.